Welcome to the podcast. I am Shane Barker, your host of Shane Barker's Marketing Madness Podcast. I have with me Jeff Bullis, a successful digital entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and best-selling author. Jeff was named one of the number one global content marketing influencers of 2008. He's a perfect fit for today's session on the best of content marketing. We'll discuss the key pillars of successful content marketing, listen as Jeff reveals how important it is to amplify the reach of your best content, and also discover the secret sauce behind his exceptional success as a marketer. Really excited about having you on the podcast today. So why don't you tell the audience, anybody who might not know about you, which I'm sure that's a very small percentage of people, hopefully, that listen to the podcast. Where did you grow up? Like, give us a little background about Jeff.
I'm from Australia, so I speak with a strange accent. For some other people around the world, it's an Aussie accent with a touch of English, I suppose, because I was raised in a little city called Adelaide, which wasn't settled by convicts, whereas Sydney was, which is where I now live. So I grew up in Adelaide, and then I had the fun stuff, and, you know, my dad had a ski boat, so we had a lot of fun growing up as teenagers, and did my high school there, and then I had a teaching degree in just near Sydney in New South Wales, which is, I suppose, the most populous state in Australia. And we got into teaching, and after I finished my teaching degree, I went and started to teach, and I'd quickly discovered it's something I really didn't enjoy. So after 5 or 6 years of doing something I really hated going, waking up and going to every day, you know, the kids were great, but it's just, it wasn't me. Yeah. So we went and did a little bit of career testing, I suppose. We went and tried 3 different jobs over my summer break from teaching. And I discovered that did a bit of real estate selling, did a little bit of insurance selling, and then got into the tech industry and sort of worked with a mate who was starting up doing a tech startup effectively back then. So, and I went, wow, this, the whole tech thing feels rather exciting. So that was how I sort of got into tech. It was a bit of a convoluted path, and I really haven't left the technology industry very much for very long over the last, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
For me, I suppose my first introduction to trends in tech, because when I left in the tech industry, it was the PC revolution with, you know, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and IBM PC and the Mac. It was, you know, pretty exciting times.
Yeah,
so, absolutely. And I just, wow, this is so much fun. And then in mid-1990s, I started a communications business. We did sort of structured cabling for comms, so tech again. But I got noticed the internet and web emerging in the mid-1990s, basically turning to public consciousness, I suppose. That's what started to happen. We know that the internet started early in that, but it started really gaining some momentum with the browser and Netscape back then. And so I went, wow, this is fascinating. I said, I can get information anywhere, anytime. And I started a consulting business around that as well. So that was the next sort of major trend point for me that I saw was going to transform business and transform industry and life. You know, like, just, you don't have to go to the library anymore to get your information. Yeah.
Disruptive for sure.
But the real thing that really got me was around 2008 when I saw people using social media. I went, and I noticed people's behavior was very quite obsessive back then and still is today. So I went, gee, this is a powerful medium. I said, well, I could actually put my content out there and without begging the gatekeepers, which are the media moguls, or paying for it. And so in 2009, after that, observing that, I, you know, reading a few books inspired me. Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week that sort of opened up the idea of digital business.
Yeah.
I found that a very attractive idea after working in the corporate world where you show up 9 to 5 and everything's structured. And so I suppose I have a big streak of independence. So I decided, then I read David Meerman's book, Meerman Scott's book, The New Rules of Marketing and PR, it's entitled, his book. So, and I got to know David actually, and I liked the idea of creating content that would attract an audience to you, because I was used to building businesses by cold calling, knocking on doors effectively.
Yeah.
Fax broadcasting even. So, and lead gen using old tech and new tech. So the idea that David put forward of inbound marketing was something that really, really intrigued me. And then there's one little push or nudge for me to start the blog. And that was, I read a blog post by HubSpot, which said, you have an inkling you want to start a business on, or what you want to write about, just start a blog. And so in March 2009, just over 10 years ago, I started jeffbullis.com. So that's sort of like the path to what we're doing today, and became an online publisher and created content. And I was just fascinated by this new media that people obsess with. And I went, where there's obsession, there's power. And what I also loved about it was this intersection of humanity and technology.
Yeah.
Social media has made it easy for us to use tech. And not only with social media, but the other, I suppose, addition and created the perfect storm that has transformed businesses all around the world and is transforming how we even live and how we consume content was the addition of the smartphone as Steve Jobs made it popular. So social media combined with a smartphone, we had basically a publishing machine in your pocket. That was the perfect storm that is rippling through business and life. And the implications for that as we move into AI and machine learning and getting the boring stuff done by machines.
Yeah.
The next 40, 50 years is basically just another brave human social experiment, really. So it's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is a crazy time. I mean, you kind of think about like how far it's come in just the last, 15 years. I mean, I graduated from college in 2003 and the internet wasn't even, sadly enough, I hope my son's not listening to this. I use like 0.01% of like what I learned from college, right? And I mean, I graduated and none of it I can use. Like everything I learned, I literally learned by going in and doing and going in and figuring out. Kind of like the same way you did. It was like, you just kind of see like, hey, there's kind of some cool stuff going on over here. And the accessibility, when you look at the iPhone and you look at like the fact that you can get anything. I mean, it's pretty, pretty crazy when you think about like, you know, the world. I was just telling my son and his friends, this is just a few weeks ago. It's like, you know, making money is easy because now you have access to the whole world.
Yep.
It's absolutely changed things. You know, you don't have to be a social media influencer and have a million followers. Like you can have a small audience and make a good amount of money online. Like it's just kind of crazy the accessibility and how easy it is. And plus with the knowledge, like when you got started, there wasn't tons of blogs to go out and read and do this and do that. I mean, it was very limited, right? I mean, I started my blog probably 7 or 8 years ago. And there was some good content, but like now it's a fire hose, right? I mean, now there's like,
it is.
There's all kinds of people, and it's nice, you know, if somebody like yourself who's been doing it for 10 plus years, it's nice. Well, you got the nice, good domain authority and you got some good traffic and, you know, you can monetize it. You're getting a good place.
Yeah, you've got to play the long game. And that's what a lot of people don't. If they don't get traffic after 2 or 3 blog posts, they're going, well, this is a waste of time. But it's the long game you've got to play. It's persistence. And I love the quote by Bill Gates. And he says that most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year, but underestimate what they can do in 10 years.
Yeah.
The reality is, especially as you build domain authority with search engines, as you create more content, more people read, more sites link to you, the reality is that it takes time to build that up. And like, you know, you see the snake oil merchants saying, well, I can get you on page one in 1 week or 2 weeks. And you're going, okay, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
So the reality is that it is a long game, but once you've built that authority over time, then things get a lot easier.
Yeah, we, on my side, as an example, I think probably within the last 2 years, maybe a year and a half, we've really seen a huge transition where it's like almost anything that we write about, we can get on the first or second page. It wasn't always that way, right? I mean, you were writing about, so originally you're just writing about stuff and then it starts to become keyword driven and then you have to go and optimize it and you got to redo it. You know, I mean, there's these processes that you go through and then, you know, there's finally a certain point where Google comes and, you know, gives you a little kiss on the cheek and then you're like, realize, hey, I'm in. Like now it's like, I'm starting to index well and things are going good. As long as you do things obviously on the up and up, but I think it helps, you know, like I said, you starting 11 years ago is a great time, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that have changed, but you're known as one of the originators. So it's awesome.
Yeah. In essence, timing is everything in business.
Yeah.
So, well, not everything, but it's the majority. I think I saw a presentation, TED Talk, can't remember his name, but they'd studied 200 companies and the number one difference for success wasn't how much money they had or connections. It was basically, what was their timing like in the market? It was a 45% factor as opposed to the other four, which were, you know, in the 20s and 30s and less. So timing can be really, really important. And if you don't get a jump on that, and that's why for me, keeping an eye on what trends are emerging is really, really important. Just seeing, it doesn't mean to chase every shiny new toy. I think that's something that we can all get trapped into, and especially with the shiny new toys of social media. There's some interesting new social networks started, one based out of China, which has got its own implications for security for everyone in the Western world. But it's an app called TikTok, which is only started in 2016. It's got 500 million plus users.
Crazy. Yeah, it's the fastest growing platform ever. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. It's have a look at the demographic. So it's full of teenagers doing, lip syncing and pranking. So it's, in essence, it's pretty superficial, but it can be addictive. And I can see that even not being a teenager, I can see how addictive it could be and is. Yeah. So that's fascinating. I'd heard of TikTok before, but basically it's very much about the power of video, which is, we all know, is important. But on the board of a startup, 8 years into a startup called Shuttle Rock, and we do Facebook video ads. So for us to keep an eye on what's happening in the Facebook, in the video space is really, really important.
It's important, yeah, for sure. So when you said you were a teacher, what level did you teach? Was it high school?
Yeah, I taught high school. So and my last year of teaching, I was teaching senior school. I was teaching economics. So, which wasn't a subject that excited me. So it just, I suppose, and the other thing I struggled with a little bit as a school teacher was I felt that I was teaching a lot of things that weren't necessary to life. It's the system imposing on the schools what they should be teaching.
Yeah.
And yes, you've got to learn the basics. You've got to do maths. You've got to do, you've got to learn to write. You've got to learn to read. But I think some of the life skills that are really important, which as parents we should be teaching, of course, but the reality is that, schools should be part of that whole learning ecosystem to help build life skills. And I just really felt, and even today, that that's very often not covered in curriculum.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's part. My dad was in education as well. And so it's, you kind of see this in some kids, there's certain kids that learn, that you can teach them certain things and some that you don't need to, right? And there's other ways to create that. I think what you're saying is I think there's a better way of teaching, right? Not everybody needs every single piece of curriculum that we go and we teach them. It's like there can be a better way. There's a better use of their time, I think, with some of the other stuff. Of course, that's always up for debate, right? But
yeah, and we're still learning how to use online education as well. And you've got the rollout of that. People can learn so easily by just YouTubing, typing in YouTube. Yeah, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I learn a guitar? All of that. So, but the thing is, when you're talking about teaching education, dealing with a system that's been around for, what are we talking, 100 plus, 150 years, 200 years. Yeah. So the reality is that change is going to be generations.
Yeah.
So despite the fact that the promise of online education, but still we're all social creatures, right? So the new premium is going to be human contact. So I'm fascinated to see what's going to unfold over the next few decades.
Yeah, I think, well, and I know there's been a lot of funding in the online education thing, but I think we're still really far out. I mean, it's, because once again, you talked about the human interaction, human touch, that's going to be the thing that's going to be rare, right? Because it's going to become more digitized, more, you're going to have more of this, more of your phone, more of this. And you can, it's kind of crazy the amount of information that's accessible these days. I mean, it's almost, like I said, it's almost too much, you can learn anything online. When back in the day, I was trying to think of if I was to start a business 20 years ago, how would you do it? Online, I have no problem. This is what you do and this is how we build it and we do this and we'll do this. I mean, I have stages to it, but I'm I'm talking about maybe, knocking on doors. I mean, I did that early on, selling stuff when I was young, new subscriptions and that kind of stuff. So I kind of cut my teeth there, but I'm just trying to think of how did you do a business 30 years ago, 40 years ago? I just don't, for me, I'm so tied into the digital age. And now if I asked my son, he wouldn't even what do you mean? They had internet probably 50 years ago. And I'm no, they didn't. This is a new thing. I mean, this is still the infancy stages for us. Right. So it's kind of crazy.
Yep, exactly. And it is a huge social experiment in terms of watching kids, want to be Insta famous and think they can, make money out of it. And that's, for me, that is a little concerning that I think they can have it by being beautiful or doing beauty products or, fabulous body or whatever. The whole sort of Insta-famous Kim Kardashian-type content, which I just am not interested in. That younger generation are certainly in that space and some people are going to do very well out of that. But the reality is that it's very superficial. And how does that impact people's thinking about life? It can be quite dangerous. So social media is both, cuts two ways. I think it can lead to superficial wanting of attention through to, creating distribution that's great to change the world.
Yeah, to awareness. Yeah, I think that's that is kind of a scary thing. So I actually teach a class at UCLA, like personal branding and how to be an influencer. So I actually have a class. So when you say that, it's very funny because the students that I get at UCLA, not all of them, because if they're listening, I love you guys. The different levels of what people think and the reason why they're looking for to be an influencer, to work with brands or something like that. So it's very, there's these levels of, some people just are looking to want to make money, right? Some people want to work with these brands. Some people, I mean, everybody has their different reasons for it. And some of it is very superficial, right? Especially in the LA area where there can be some like, you know, hey mom, I didn't make it as an actor, but now I can be an influencer, right? So it gives them like, keeps the dreams alive, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting to say the least. I really enjoy teaching the course, but it reminds me of, like I was telling you, when I went to college, one of the classes that I took was how to be an entrepreneur. Right, or an entrepreneurship class. And it was like the only one. And I remember going in there and I had already owned my own businesses when I went to college, when I finished college. It took me 10 years to finish college because I just was kicking and screaming. I wanted to go do everything else and travel and go have fun. And so finally, I'm at the end of this thing. And I remember the teacher and everybody in the class was saying, well, yeah, I want to be an entrepreneur because I want to own my own business so I can travel and go have fun. Like, you know, so I can, you know, make all the money. And it's like, I was remember thinking in my head, like, you have no idea what it takes to run a business. Like, it's not you go open your business and then 3 months later, you're out on the golf course with your buddies drinking beer and you know, driving around
That's right.
yachts, right? It's like, there's like, you have to realize, I remember one of the funniest things that I heard was the, you know, that somebody says, well, I want to be my own boss. The teacher says, if you own your own business, you'll never be your own boss because everybody that comes in that restaurant or comes in your place is your boss because they're going to come tell you how to do things. This is what you need to change. I have a complaint here. I mean, you know, and so it was really interesting because the perception, the same thing with an influencer, right? You think, oh, the influencer life is the way to go. Like I've got my little pink puppy and I eat caviar and I just travel in jets and, you know, helicopters pick me up and that's the life, right? That's what it is. And even then you have to question, like, okay, let's say that is the life, but is that really the life? You know, I mean, it's all perception, right? The way you see and people, and Instagram is very obviously lifestyle-ish, right? You look at it and you're like, oh, this is this.
Exactly.
You want to tap into that. And that's what people, keeping the dream alive is what people want to tap into that because that's what I want to do. I want the pink dog and I want the caviar and I want, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, it's funny. I used to think about this, like when I would look, like when I look at other entrepreneurs and stuff and I go, oh, it'd be great to travel around and be on planes and be in hotels. And I'll be honest, I hate hotels. I don't hate hotels, but I've been in so many of them, like in a row of like consulting gigs where I would go for months at a time.
Yep.
I hate hotels, but it's like, there's a certain point. I'm like, God, it's nice to have a home cooked meal. Like I don't want to go out to eat. You know, it's hard to get in that cadence. And I just, cause I've been to so many hotels, you know, so it's not, and I remember as a kid, man, we went to a hotel, I was losing my mind that we were at a hotel, you know, it's like they clean up your room and you can go have food. And it's like, man, you just put it on the room. And we didn't do that too much because mom wasn't super excited about that, but you get my point. It's like, it's just funny how your perception of things, and when you get in the middle of something, it changes, you know? And I think influencer marketing, cause I've been heavy in the space for a long time, has been very interesting. But once again, it's like anything else. Like, what are your goals? Like, why do you want to get into that? I have with the influencers, I ask them, or people want to be influenced. Like, what's your reason for being an influencer? Like, what are you seeing? There's a reason why you want to do that. Well, I want to make tons of money. Oh, I want to do this. And UCLA has a different level of individuals. I mean, you know, usually parents are educated. And so hopefully it's not all, I mean, but it's LA though, right? So it's not, I mean, there's a little.
Maybe it's the Hollywood syndrome.
that's it, right? I mean, it's right there. So it's, you know, I don't know. Anyways, it's interesting for sure. So cool. So you kind of went through your little journey. I mean, but now you're heavy in the tech space. And so where are you spending your time these days? I mean, obviously you've got the website and all that. You're doing consulting. What else? You do a lot of speaking engagements?
Yeah, we do some speaking. I'm in Estonia in about a month's time, speaking over there at a Digital Elite conference. So that's going to be fun. We're going to Chicago in October. So, and a bunch of other things around that. So, you know, I suppose the part for me that as we continue to evolve as both as a business is that we're starting to get more involved in startups and software as a service companies. So I've been on the board of a startup called Shuttle Rock. We've pivoted twice and now we're a global Facebook partner, media partner. So what we do is we scale videos or static images into videos and we can do that at scale very cost effectively. So, and that's great for Facebook because that helps create content for them, to which actually optimizes all their Facebook ads. Yeah. So when we can increase conversion rates significantly by 10, 20, 40, 50% over standard ads. So we're sort of moving more in the strategic, I suppose, startup, both investment, sweat equity space. That's really what we're starting to move into. Uh-huh. You know, when I started the blog, it was what social media is. For me, it's more about what social media does and enables you to have a voice to reach the world and change the world and create a business. So that's what I'm moving more into. So, and also we'll be doing a little bit of traveling, but I totally agree with you about routine. Like, the influencer life that's maybe touted around as being, you know, this romantic vision of hotels and beaches and bikinis and, you know, fabulous food. You know what? For me, sometimes just boring day-to-day routine, normalcy, there's a certain comfort of that. But interspersed with interesting, fun stuff, you know, for me, life is actually more about contrast, not just about either being stuck in a routine or always on the road. I think a lot of speakers and friends of mine I know sort of like go, oh, this being on the road all the time is just tiring. So, and then it's harder to keep fit because you break your routine. It's harder to eat the right food because you're in different countries. Yeah. And you need to get the important, you know, deep work done, which is the book by Cal Newport, which sort of summed up what I'd been doing for the last, you know, 7, 8 years. And that's what I think is really important. That, and to segue into a little bit into the whole influencer space again, is that a lot of stuff that's created is what I call superficial. You know, it's about consumerism, and sometimes at its worst. And so rather than creating something that changes people's lives significantly for the better. So, and Cal Newport talks about, you know, he gave it a term. He sort of, when you sit down every day and actually maybe for 2 hours a day, write or paint or do video, or in other words, create content of consequence. And I think being able to sit down and create, and this is what the internet and the social web has given us, it's given us the platform to share our creation with the world. And for me, it's really important because I think creating is one thing, but I think where the real magic happens is when you share your creation with the world, whether it's sharing your business as it grows, sharing your art. It's really when you start sharing with the world, with this global media we have now, the social web, you are changing the world and the world is changing you. And I think it's important to understand that and think about, you know, why do I want to be an influencer? Like, you might be having those discussions with some of your students. If you're doing it for the wrong reasons, then it's not going to be sustainable. I think it's really going to come from a passionate interest in something. I'm just reading Richard Branson's book at the moment. He wrote in 2007, I think it was, How I Lost My Virginity, whatever it is. But he just does stuff that he loves doing. So it's basically is driven by a passionate interest in the subject area that he wants to get into. So I think that's the only way it's going to be sustainable. If you're doing it just for money, it's going to get you. And if you're doing it for the right reasons, then I think it's much more sustainable. But the thing is, as you do create and as you grow, what you are passionate about is also going to evolve.
Yeah.
So, and that's going to lead to pivot points and transitions. And you really then have to listen to and watch what you're doing and trying to get in touch with, you know, that. So, yeah, it's the social web for me has totally changed my life in the sense of that giving me a voice and also learning how important it was to share my writing with the world and my creation. And a lot of people are afraid to actually do that. I think they're afraid of being judged. They're afraid of, saying, well, why would anyone care? Because, you know, these people are much better than me. So I need to get it just right before I hit the publish button or before I share it. And the reality is much more different to that. You should be sharing your best work. And when you start off, it's not going to be maybe that good, but it shouldn't stop you. Because for me, it wasn't just the writing on the blog. It was actually the interaction globally as people impacted what we created for content. They gave us feedback. So what I said earlier, you know, essentially, where's your create content, whether it's video, whether it's images, whether it's writing, whether it's art, as you create it and then share it, that's where the real magic for me happens, because you get the feedback and you know what works and what doesn't. You create relationships out of that as people interact. And I love that. For me, I've met so many wonderful people globally. And I remember talking to a lady who was getting to social media about two or three years ago, and she was at Social Media's Examiners event, Social Media Marketing World. And she said, you know what? I feel like I've just joined my tribe, right? Yeah. Because she had a passionate interest in social media, obviously, and then she came to the event and met so many other people who were passionate about it. And that's what I think is really also an important facet of this social web. It is very social. And I think it actually, you know, connects disparate tribes all around the world. And that's what I've just blows me away all the time, is people you've only met, you know, online, or they've only been reading a blog, and you go to an event or you go on the other side of the world and you bump into them, and they're going, you changed my life. And you awaken an interest or a passion in me about, you know, about this. And I went, and I just continue to be amazed by both the opportunity of creating and sharing and distributing with the world. And that's, for me, has just been, it's been awesome, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of, it is kind of insane. I, you know, it's funny you talk about like the influencer thing and the personal branding, the class that I teach over there. It's one of the things that I always touch on is like, once again, what are your goals? You know, what's your reason for being an influencer? But really it's a personal branding course. It's like, the idea of it is like, I mean, if you want to do be an influencer full-time, this is what you want to do. First of all, why are you doing it? But like, you really have to build a brand, like, and you have to realize that it's not always, it's not all cupcakes and, you know, caviar. Like, you have to realize, like, this is like, if you really want to build this thing out, this is your own business and you have to treat it like your own business. And there's going to be ups and downs. And if you're, you know, if you want to live the Kim K life, just know that it's not going to be easy, you know, and it's going to take a while to get there. It's not an overnight thing. This isn't, you know, this just happened to me. This is like 3-4 days ago. This girl gets a hold of me through Instagram and says, hey, you know, I really want to figure out how I get more followers. You know, is there any ways? And so I sent her some blog posts and she goes, I've read your blog post. I just want to know how many, you know, how to get more followers. And I said, okay, let me look at your account. So I look at it real quick and I go back to her and I go, how long have you been on Instagram? And she goes, 13 days.
Yeah.
Well, you got to put in a little more time than that. 13 days is usually not the pivotal point to become famous. So I said, why don't you, I'm not kidding. She said 13 days. And I was like, I thought it was a friend like joking around with me. So I said, here's the deal. Please, just do it for 3 or 4 months, put up a picture a day, do some Instagram stories, and then I'll take a look at it. But 13 days in, my recommendation is keep going. Like you're not even at the tip of the iceberg. Like nobody's even hit the thing so you can start your journey. Like you're still at the start line. Like, no, you know what I'm saying? It just was kind of funny. I just thought, man, you know, everybody wants, you know, instead of the 7-second abs, I want the 3-second abs. And then how can I do a 1-second ab? And then, you know, it's one of those things that go, listen, it's not going to happen overnight. It just isn't. Like, you will not, all these things that take off viral and go do this and go do something a little crazier and I'll try to get a response. You know, it's like, I get it. Those are all tactics, but it's like, if you're really going to build something that you can look back on and be proud of, it's going to take work, you know, and it's not an overnight thing. It just isn't, you know? And so it's interesting because people go, oh, I want this overnight success. And do you think by the end of the course I can start, you know, making money? And I'm like, it's really up to you, you know, and it is right time, right place, right time. Right. I mean, it's a crowded space, but that doesn't mean that you can't find a great niche that you enjoy doing. You know, if it's just all about money, then you're chasing money and that's going to disappoint you at times.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know. It is interesting. It is kind of a trip, but once again, you know, it comes down to like, hey, listen, this is a long-term play. This isn't going to happen overnight ever.
And a lot of them just do not realize that it's that building distribution is just, it's work of years. You know, the Kim Kardashian basically built a distribution by appearing on mass media, which is a lucky break. And then she was able to use mass media leverage into the social media space as that emerged. So the reality is, and this, you know, it does take a long time. And yes, you will have some lucky breaks along the way. And, whether it's an interview on a major show or whether it's someone distributing on their, you know, on their list. And then you've got to keep an eye on the trends because, you know, what you're working on may stop working. And, you know, you only have to look at what happened in Facebook in 2014 as they started to move from organic to pay to play. The only way you can really get any traction on Facebook these days is unless you're a movie star, is basically you're going to have to pay for it. And then you've got to be really smart about how you spend the money. Yeah. So the reality is social media before 2013, yes, it, for 3 or 4 years, it was fabulously organic. But as the landscape changed, pay to play, the algorithms, you know, were modified, everyone's organic traffic. There were businesses that had basically built their business model upon organic social, essentially almost disappeared overnight.
Yeah.
So the thing for me is certainly multi-channel. So with last 12 months or 2 years, we focused a lot on building domain authority because there's two parts to getting, you know, Google authority. So you rank on first page, or if you're lucky or worked hard enough, you know, number one on page one. We decided, as we saw social continue to decline, we said, well, we need to make sure we're covering ourselves from a distribution point of view.
Yeah.
So we invested, I think, about 6 to 9 months of work into the technical aspect of search engine optimization for the website. Also the structure, the content, pillar content, creating 5,000-6,000 word blog posts of the pillar content that, you know, create the authority, began positioning yourself as being, you know, one of the best in the business in your sector. So, but it took us, you know, essentially 9 months before we started to see any significant uptick in traffic, and then it'll drop away a bit as Google changed their algorithm. So, you know, we invested a lot of money, a lot of time, and it, even with the domain authority that we have, because we've got about 5-6 million visitors a year, it still took us that time to really see an uptick. And the other things that are changing is the effectiveness of email. So the email's open rates are continuing to decline. So 12 months ago, we invested in, you know, building our Facebook Messenger subscriber base. So and today we've got about 12,000 on that list, but we have a lot better open rates and click-through rates on there. So then you're not sure. So the thing then is Facebook might change the whole strategy on use of Facebook Messenger. They might say, well, we're going to split business and personal messaging, so you're going to have to start again and build. Who knows? But there is rumors around the mill about that sort of thing happening. And you just got to understand that you've got to make hay while the sun shines, because the algorithm might change tomorrow.
That's the hard part. I tell people, and people that will reach out once again, hey, you want to be in it, whatever it is. Hey, I'm on Instagram. That's where I have my profile. I'm like, what other profiles do you have? Oh, I just have Instagram. I said, that's scary.
It is scary.
It's absolutely scary, because you know what? How much of Instagram do you own? And they're like, I don't own Instagram. I go, exactly. So you can complain about algorithms. You can complain about this. You can complain about that. You whatever they make a decision on, it's the best thing for Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever, right? So at the end of the day, I tell people, like, listen, if you're talking about personal branding, that should go to your website, right? This should drive traffic to wherever you have your money or your lead magnets or whatever that is. The problem is Instagram, you can put up too many risky pictures, or you can talk about this, or you can talk about that, and they could ban you. I mean, I've had clients that have lost, like, overnight. And they're like, I don't know what to do. Now, we were able to get them back because we, you know, explained what the reason was or whatever the deal was. But I'm like, man, I mean, it's, you know, like a site you own. And obviously you guys have invested in that, right? It's like, I understand you got the algorithm, you got this, but there becomes a point now, obviously it's not an overnight thing, because yours wasn't overnight. Mine was not overnight. But it gets to a point where, hey, you know what? All of this time, like, this is what's funny. My wife, she's probably gonna listen to this too. Between my son hearing that, like, hey, anything I learned in college, I don't use anymore. And now I'm gonna talk about my wife. I might have to move to Australia when I'm done with this podcast.
Yeah, New Zealand's quite good as well, I have heard. Yeah, a lot of Americans are moving to New Zealand. Yeah, well, getting bomb bunkers built, I think. So, yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. I mean, that's good to know I've got a place out there. Yeah, it's, you know, my wife in the beginning was like, you know, you're doing all this writing and you're hiring writers and you're doing this, like, what is this? Like, how much money have you made from this? And I'm like, you know, it's a long-term play, and I invested early, you know, and I just didn't know how it was going to pay off. And now, like I said, now we're at the point where you can monetize the blog, but it's just not easy. You know, you read plenty of things, oh, how to monetize your blog. It takes a while to get that kind of traffic, man. It just really does. And it's like, it's always a work in progress, but you guys invested in that early. And I think that's the key, is it's like, you own that blog, right? Nobody can take, as long as you're paying your hosting, you pay your $10 for GoDaddy or whatever.
Yes, that's right.
Blog, right? And, you know, assuming that you're doing, you know, not doing anything weird SEO wise, but as long as you do things on the up and up, it can bear money. I mean, it can bear fruit for you down the road.
Yeah. And it worries me a lot when I see people just building personal branding on just Instagram. And I'm going, gee, that is such a dangerous place to do that. Instagram should be one of your digital assets that you have an investment in, but you do not own it. It's rental property. You are there under the landlord's authority and permission.
Yeah.
And they can decide they're going to sell the house or they're going to change it or blow it up.
Yeah.
Or government regulation comes in and changes the game, which is potentially nipping at the toes of Facebook and others. Facebook even said they're going to combine all their messenger from WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger into one messenger app. And then the EU goes, be very careful about doing that because you'll be seen as monopoly. So we're watching social media grow up. It was a Wild West 10 years ago. Now it's going to be subject to all the rigor of mature industries as it continues to evolve. So, yeah, for me, it's something I've been banging on about for nearly a decade, is about own your asset.
Yeah.
And sure, use social media as your distribution. So it's a hub and spoke model. You've got your home, what you own, your website, your blog. And as you just said, it's yours as long as you keep paying the hosting fee and keep renewing your domain name.
Yeah.
So the reality is that you do need to make sure that you do that. So when I see just people wanting to be Insta famous and that's their only asset, I'm going,
it's scary.
You really need to rethink this because you're playing on borrowed ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So when we talk about like content marketing, so for you guys, for your website, let's say as an example, probably for clients as well, like what are your key pillars for content? Like, I mean, obviously you have the pillar content, right? The big blog posts are 500-600 words. How do you guys create like for content marketing? Like, how do you guys do that for your website? So if somebody was listening and says, hey, I want to build a website and obviously you have years and years of experience, right? So today, how do you guys structure that when it comes to putting content up on your website?
I did it very ad hoc initially. So I suppose I created SEO Authority just with blunt force trauma. We just create a lot of content. In fact, for 4 years, shortly after I started, I got up at 4:30 a.m. Before I started my day job. And at 9 a.m., I'd basically written a blog post, I'd published it, distributed on email, sent it out on social. And we created authority just by doing that. But we discovered 2 years ago that as Google's become much more technical, as the algorithms have become more sophisticated, we've had to really double down on the technical side. So we will go in and do some keyword research, seeing what sort of categories and what sort of phrases are getting the right traffic. You don't want to be chasing just phrases or one word. You need to be the long tail, 4 to 5 words as a phrase. Questions are actually big now as Google's algorithms evolve. What doesn't seem as important, but things like make sure that the site loads quickly.
Yeah.
Make sure that when people go to your mobile site, it's easy to read. Also, the calls to action to convert those readers into subscribers and then into customers is also done well. It's a very complicated space, but that's why just doing something every day is a step towards building a sustainable business, an online business, and be aware of changes that are going to happen around you. So we really doubled down on the technical side, site loading speed, making sure we had a site map done, made sure we had the categories that are important in our industry. And someone who doesn't really understand SEO, look, I'm not an SEO expert. I understand the concepts, but I basically built the team. One of my core team members is really, really good at SEO. So it's important that early on, I think, get your site structure and technical set up and then your categories and then key phrases that you want to chase under that. And you can't control all of that. All I can do is you make sure you get 80% right. And then the next job after getting it technically, well, you should be doing it in parallel, is creating content that solves people's problems and positions you as an expert in your space, and then continue to do that creation.
Yeah, because it's to do it right is difficult. I mean, because your site's never going to be perfect, right? But I gave you an example. This, and in fact, we're switching this on my site as we speak. Having the dates that we had on my website, they weren't correct. Like the formatting of the dates, we didn't have it correct, which is a huge thing. And I didn't know that. I mean, I've done SEO for I don't know how long. And I just read a blog post about that. And I was like, oh my God, like our dates, I've always from the beginning kind of said, I think we should change the way we have our dates done. And we're like, oh, well, we start working on other stuff. And I just recently read that and I thought, and every single one of my dates on my thing are messed up. It was like, anyways, it just wasn't technically right. And so there was a certain company that went and changed their dates and saw an increase of 30% in their web traffic, because now Google can see when those blog posts have been done. And then when you update them, and then obviously it becomes, you get better rankings. So anyways, it's little simple stuff like that I think In fact, I was also going to do, if you know who Viper Chill is, so that's Neil is a big SEO guy, and he does little evaluations. I was going to have him do an evaluation of my website, just he does like a 10-minute video or something like that on just really, really technical SEO. Because I have a few people on my team that are good at technical SEO, but there's always moving pieces, right? I mean, once you change this and then this changes this a little bit, I mean, there's always these, you know, obviously you have, you know, page loading and all that kind of this page speed and all that, which is always constantly changing with images and the size of your images and this and that. And, you know, the amount of all the fun stuff of the, you know, you have all the widgets and plugins and all this that bogs it all down. It's just trying to come up with that perfect mix. And I think people, and it's only been this way for, well, I mean, probably the last 5, 6, 7 years. I remember the beginning, like you talked about, it's like we would just put content up to put content up, right? I mean, the idea is like even at UCLA, I show my students, because I still have it up on my blog, not because I'm proud of it, but I have it as a point. I show my first blog post and it's terrible. I mean, it's like really, really bad. And people are like, why would you oh my God, that's terrible. And I go, yeah, but the point is I started.
You started. That's the most important thing. And for me, one of the key phrases I use all the time is done is better than perfect.
Yeah.
So you've just got to get started. And some of us are more conservative than the others. Some of us are much more introverted. I think Brené Brown covers that in her TED talk. The reality is that about 40% of the population is introverted. So they're much more afraid of actually putting themselves out there. But it's a fear you're going to have to overcome in the online world, because you've got to be willing to put yourself out there and start and be willing to be judged. And, when I started writing, just needed to get it out. So I maybe hadn't proofread it, correctly, or had the grammar was a little bit average, and I'd have the grammar police and the spelling police turn up and give me a hard time. And I went, well, okay, sorry. Yep. I didn't have time for an editor, because the internet sometimes doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And especially when you have big bucks to invest in a team of people before you're even making money, that's not going to happen. So you just got to suck it up. And I think you get a little thicker skin over the time to handle that sort of heat.
Yeah.
And the end of that, I went, well, I've got more traffic than you. So yes, you can complain about my grammar, you can complain about my spelling, but I've got more attention than you have. And we've actually got a business, and we actually have a lot of fun doing this stuff. So thanks for letting us know. And we'll make changes. We'll get around to making changes. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what's always funny is that I always tell people that if you have people that are coming to your site and doing this and giving you a hard time about this, and you've made it. You're in a good position, because then they're reading your stuff still, right? I mean, if they're not going to come back because of it, then that's fine. It's not the kind of person you want anyways. But the people that are coming, other than it's like YouTube has some pretty bad trolls on there. But, when they're coming to your website and they're reading your content, like to me, that's a good, right? Some things need to be changed, because I've never claimed to be perfect. I'm like, listen, if you get 90% of what I'm saying, then life's good. If you're still getting, you understand the premise, if I don't have a comment there, if that throws off my whole article for you, then I'm probably not a good fit for you.
Right? That's right.
I'm gonna mess up things here and there. That's the only thing I can promise out of the whole thing.
Exactly.
That's funny. So tell me, obviously you've been in the space for a long time. Like, what are like three softwares or tools that you use that you're like, you can't live without? Like your team, you said, if you said, hey, I'm going to shut these things down, your team would go, whoa, 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 Jeff, like, what are you doing? You've been, drinking too many beers or something like that. It's a bad decision.
Yeah. A tool which I discovered early on is Snagit, which allows me to do screenshots and capture images and then edit them. That was pretty important early on. So the other ones, I suppose, is my CRM, Infusionsoft, sometimes known as Confusionsoft, because it's so technical. So you do need an email or CRM marketing platform for automation. And I remember I got given a really hard time early on when I started automating social media posts on Twitter. And the tool I use today for that, in fact, one tool I couldn't do without now, is the founder, Emmerich. From Paris, Emmerich Ermolt is just a fabulous guy. And he and his partner have built a fabulous social media marketing tool called Agora Pulse. I couldn't do without that. So we worked together with him to build out a feature on his platform that allows me to tweet every 15 minutes out to my users. I've got about 580,000 users and on Twitter. And we've got a whole bank of content, you see. So I can share content over 6 days without doubling up.
Yeah.
In fact, I can do more than that, but we keep refreshing our content. Older stuff's retired, newer stuff. We try and create evergreen content. But Agora Pulse is one platform that I found to be really, really, we could not do without. The latest one we couldn't do without is basically Facebook bot platform we use, which is ManyChat. Mm. There's one out by Larry Kim called Mobile Monkey. Uh-huh. We started implementing, building our Facebook Messenger subscribers out because we were seeing our email lists being less effective. So we, in the last 12 months, have used ManyChat to actually build our Facebook Messenger subscriber base. And that's something I couldn't do without today. That gives you an idea of the emerging landscape and how you've got to keep changing that. So, yeah, there's a few.
So it's funny. So I've used Snagit. You know what tool that I use, and it was revolutionary for me, is have you ever used Loom, the video?
I've heard of it, yeah. I
hadn't used it. The reason why it's been helpful for me, because my team, is your team all remote? Do you have a remote team?
Yeah, they're remote.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's the same with mine. So my team's literally all over the world. So the video thing helped because, you know, if you get whatever, 50, 100, whatever, how many emails I get, then I could go and look at a page or look at something and say, hey, we need to change this, 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 and this. Or, hey, guys, I saw this. Or, hey, we're looking at this. Or, hey, I like this in regards to the logo. And I could do it really fast. Because back in the day, you know, before it was just all email. So for me, it was email, great, one thing. And then all of a sudden it was Snagit. Hey, I can point arrows and now I can tell you. But yep. I still have to write it out. And now I have Loom, which I literally have used. I think I'm probably a Loom abuser. Like, I'm probably the reason why they might not make it or their servers might go down because of how often I use it. Probably right. Not. Still, I feel like that. I have probably 720 videos. I mean, I'll do reports for, I do it for sales. I mean, I do it for a lot of different things because I send an email for sales and then, you know, you read it, you're like, what about this part? They have some questions. I try to answer all the questions of the video. Like, oh, hey, John, wanted to sit that proposal over, wanted to explain this. Or with my team, it's been awesome because with design stuff, I'm trying to change two colors and move this thing over 3 inches. Like the emails that I would send, I would read them again in the morning. I'm like, oh my God, no wonder they didn't understand what I was talking about. Like I read it again. It's just, so video's been tremendous for me because once again, I can get more out at a faster rate.
Okay.
Like Snagit. So cool. Take a look. It's been fun. Now ManyChat is something, I'll have to take a look at that. Now I know Larry Kim, he's reached out to me. Larry's reached out to me for a number of reasons, but I'm number one for AI chatbot. So he was like, hey, what's going on, Shane? And I was like, oh, hey, what's up? And he goes, hey, you're number one for the keyword that I need. And I was like, oh, okay, so let's talk. So yeah, we've gotten, I like Larry, he's a good guy.
That's great, yeah. Yeah, I think I met him in San Diego a couple of years ago. So, but yeah, the whole the Facebook Messenger side is certainly something we're doubling down on. And we can get, you know, we can get more clicks and more conversions from Facebook Messenger, and the list is only, one-seventh the size of the email list. So, So we certainly have doubled down on that. We've invested a bit over 12 months worth in that at the moment, and we're going to do some more testing as we evolve that out.
All right. Yeah, I got to jump a little more into it. We've done some stuff on my website for conversion stuff, and it really hasn't converted the way that I like it to. So anyways, I've got a little leverage because I go in and tell the guys, hey, I'm number one for your keyword. Like, what do you guys want to build out for me? So I'll leverage that a little bit. We'll see. Hopefully in 6 months, I'll have it'll be better there. So awesome. So let's think. So what other projects are you working on? You got anything else? I mean, it sounds like you've been working on the chatbot side of things and getting that going. Anything fun? You got any books coming out?
Last 12 months have been a bit of a tough time personally. I won't get into detail, but it's sort of had to step back a bit. But I've got a book in the mill, so which is more about what's made me happy and what I found to be what helps me to be resilient, what helps me to persist. More about life skills than necessarily about social media or digital marketing. I'm really more fascinated about the human condition, I suppose, in terms of how we make life that success and how we communicate effectively online. And so that's the books more in that sort of space. And but we're also working more strategically with startups, not first stage startups necessarily, but ones that are starting to get some traction and maybe help them with some sweat equity. So we'll just work on some of that, so those sort of ideas. Because we've got a platform to help people, you know, grow their base, grow their subscribers, and we know how to do that as well. So, yeah, just keeping it fun. For me, it's like Richard Branson said, if it's not fun, it's not worth doing. And I think it doesn't mean you don't do some of the stuff that needs to be done, such as, you know, make sure you got your accountant looking after your taxes and all the basic boring stuff. We're transitioning to, I suppose, a space within the space we started in, social media and digital entrepreneurship. And so working closer with startups strategically, software as a service, companies where we can help them scale through our distribution. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff that we're working on, yeah.
So what about traveling? So I know you like to travel. You also like to, you're a cyclist, right? So you like to do that as well. So tell me a little bit about that. I just looked at your Instagram and you like all these fun places. And so do you do a lot of cycling?
Yeah, I do a lot of cycling. So essentially I'm a road bike. I used to be a runner for decades, but my feet started a little bit worn out from the impact. So cycling is so good because actually it's very low impact exercise. It's so good. So you can ride with a friend, you can have a chat, you can have a coffee, you're getting fit at the same time. You're seeing beautiful landscapes unfold around you and before you. Yeah, we've ridden in places like South Africa. We've done the Argus, which is the biggest road bike race in the world, which they closed down the whole Cape effectively, and right, Indian Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, that was 40,000 people. Ridden in New Zealand several times. We rode in France, the French Alps, around the French Tour last year. For me, it's about making, you know, people try and separate life and business, and I think that that's the wrong way to think about it. It is life. So how can you make business fun? How can you make life fun? How can you make just life fun but make a difference? So we're about to, when we speak in Estonia, we're going to take that opportunity while we're there to actually spend a couple of months in the Lakes District of Italy and do some cycling, but get into a daily routine of work as well. So it's basically, my life continues to be an experiment in life design because it's something I'm really passionate about. I think seeing people, you know, line up to get into the lifts and go into the high-rise towers and, you know, then all pour out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon is something that distinctly demotivates me. And luckily in a position where I don't have to do that. Yeah, so it's, for me, it's about, and we intend to do a bit of time in maybe Bali for a few weeks as well and work from there. But working in places where we can create a routine, not just traveling, but basically explore the world while having fun, growing business, but doing it through a routine and get fit along the way with some cycling.
Yeah, see, that's kind of me. Like, I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but I will lower my speaker gigs for places that, like, I haven't been to. Like, literally, if somebody comes to me, they're like, oh, hey, you want to speak in this country? And I'm like, yeah, then I'm like, I'm going to lower my fee because I want to make sure I get it. Like, there's, like, parts of me, like, I look at it the other way. Instead of, like, I want to make more money, I'm going to, like, well, if you guys fly me out there, kind of like you, if you fly me out there and I can be there for a few weeks, that's awesome. Like, that's not half the cost, but it's a good percentage of it, right? And now you can just have some fun. Like, it's...
So what you want is not more money. You want more experiences. That's what it is.
That's it. I mean, I don't... Yeah. The money side of things is not the big... Like I'll go way down on fees. I probably shouldn't say this, but I will go way. I get to a point where it's like, if I want to go there, then I'm going to go there. Like if you're willing to fly me out there, then hey, we can work something out in the middle. It's not a bad thing.
It isn't a bad thing. And I've been to some just fabulous places, Turkey, Beirut, Kuwait, Romania and Norway and Helsinki. And so, and my mum actually asked me the other day, visiting me, and mum said, how many places have you been to? I went, that's a good question, mum. So I started reeling them off, and I think I got up to 30 without too much trouble. And I went, I just feel I'm a lucky guy. I'm so grateful to have, in essence, heard the whisper to start the blog. And that's the thing about your passionate purpose. And I think Steven Spielberg, in a lovely YouTube video, talks about listen for that whisper because it doesn't shout. And I think that's really important for people to understand is that intuition and also what you're meant to be doing sometimes is something that isn't obvious. And, we were brought up in a world, decades ago where, you got to be a nurse, teacher, doctor, lawyer, right? So whatever, or a cabinet maker, the traditional roles. But that whole space of career and life design, the opportunity is now just so awesome. And you've got so much flexibility to reach the world and basically create a life around that. And that's what happened to me. And I never cease to be grateful and also never cease to be surprised by the opportunities that show up that came because I was willing to actually share my creation with the world.
Yeah. Well, and work hard. You worked hard. Yeah. All right. So we're almost at the end of this thing. And I know this has been a fun little journey for me. So if I was to give you a credit card with a $50,000 limit, I don't know if that's even enough for you, bud, because I know you like live that high life, and you were going to go max it out at some store, what store, where would you go? Where would you go? I said, listen, you know what, Jeff, we've been good friends. Here goes a card. I don't know why. It's 50 grand that my wife didn't use this month. I don't know. For some reason, I have the cash. I want it in a card. And I give it to you. Where would you go? Where would you go blow 50 grand that was...
It'd be on travel and experiences and the ability to meet other people globally around the world, whether it's at conferences, whatever. So for me, it's not about more stuff. It's about more meaningful experiences that just make life rich. And I think there's some studies being done that at around $75,000 to $100,000, earning more money doesn't make you any happier. As long as you've got the fundamentals paid for, as long as you can put food on the table, as long as you don't have, you know, you can pay debts off and no one's chasing you for money, the rest comes down to quality human relationships, experiences that feed your soul. That's, you know, what I would spend on. Spend it on the experiences and the ability to, from those experiences, to connect with more people and discover more opportunity that allows me to have more fun with more people. So that's what I'd do.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you, man, this has been an awesome interview. This is half the reason I do the podcast, because, you know, you see people online and then you get to be able to talk with them. And I think, you know, I know you through online stuff, but I think you seem to be you're an awesome human, man. Like just the way you think about things, the way you look at things, which is, once again, you don't always get that reading somebody's content, but I think it's nice. That's why I enjoy the podcast, because then you get to meet some people that to hear that of what their goals are is a lot. They align with my goals in the sense that it's like, just let's have some fun while we're on this earth, you know, and do good things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our purpose in life is to discover what our purpose in life is. And I think if journey. You keep looking, keep listening, and it will be a whisper.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, Jeff. So if anybody needs to get in contact with you, they have a startup that's, you know, been funded, they need some money, they need a little bit of guidance in their life, how can they get in contact with you?
So I've got a contact form at jeffbullas.com. So jeffbullas.com. So we're not hard to find. So drop in, check us out, and happy to have a chat. And we meet all sorts of fun stuff. So
awesome, Jeff. Well, hey, have an awesome day out there, man. Once again, thanks for being on the podcast. We'll be chatting here soon.
Okay, great to be part of the show.
Thanks, bud. Bye-bye.
Bye.